I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are?
All righty, another day, another episode. Just keep on going stronger and stronger. And I got to say, this is one of my favorite episodes. And we just started taping. Two people, I know one from a previous meeting. Power couple, building an empire together. Glenn and Amber Schwarm. I said your last name, right?
You okay. Did.
Look at that. Look at that. The degree in journalism finally paid off. Not an overnight success story by any means.
Yeah.
I literally never knew this about you guys. You guys started literally in the hole. And not too long ago, 2007, $80,000 in credit card debt to create an empire, to help others on a journey on creating wealth for themselves, home on by a home flipping. Congratulations, guys, Glenn and Amber.
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate you having us here. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Now, I had you on my other side show that our publicist wanted to have, so not my first meeting with you. But I gotta say though, what were you doing in a previous life that got you in such a hole? Because hey. We've all been there.
Yeah, going through a divorce. So I was in a network marketing company I was in two of those for 5 years each, and in those companies they promote residual income. But the truth is, if you're not recruiting, you don't really make a lot of money in those companies and network marketing, home based business kind of a thing, you know. And so when you're going through a divorce, you're not mentally, as I wasn't mentally prepared to go out and recruit people and be a motivational speaker. I was sucking wind at life in general. So your income starts to drop significantly. Then you're living off credit cards and you're trying to figure things out. I didn't want my credit to get hurt, my credit score overall. I didn't want to have any missed payments or anything. So I was doing what I could to survive. And, you know, when Amber and I, many months later, got together, it was like, you know, we got to make large chunks of money fast. She didn't have any debt. I had debt. So she married me for my debt. That's what she married me
for. But I didn't have any money either.
Didn't have any money.
I didn't have debt.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter, Amber, because I tip my hat off to you. Because most people, it's not, I don't want to generalize and say women, because you know, I don't want to get crushed here. But that's why I say most people, women, go into a relationship and they're like, what are you bringing? It's like, well, isn't this a partnership? Because clearly you could have ran the other way. You could have been like, Glenn, you don't have $500,000 minimum in your Fidelity account. and I'm sure, that shows you that's true love. Because if most, especially anywhere, I know you guys are from New York, but anywhere in this country, because they'll say this is a Florida thing or an LA thing or, you know, a bougie type of place. Most people want the other to be financially successful. I mean, how did you break that? just out of like, how did you say, "Hey, Amber, I love you."
I'm a closer, man. I'm good,
dude. That is clear. Maybe you should be our publicist, general, man, because that's a sell.
you know, nobody can accuse me for marrying him for his money, though.
We both had a vision too. I think our dream brought us together. We had a vision. She wanted to flip houses. I wanted to buy rentals. So we finally did what she wanted, because that's the way marriage works. So I went and said, let's flip a house. And here we are, you know.
You know, I think I saw the raw potential though.
Nice. I was a big ball of fat clay. That's what I was for you. You had to mold me.
No, but you know what? Like, ambition is an attractive quality. And you've always been ambitious. You've always been a big picture thinker. And, yeah. You know, we knew each other before that. So we've known each other for a long time. So I knew he had greatness in him.
Oh, look at that. Nice. Let's end it right there. Good night, everybody. Let's move on.
Exactly. Amber, you got to write down my profile, my dating website profile on that one. you said some deep stuff that moved me, that if Glenn was single, I would have moved in on that.
I'm just switching gears.
potential. But clearly potential can mean a lot of things. I mean, to me, and you guys are successful now. Potential really means this guy's lazy. Because when a teacher tells a student, you have so much potential, that's like having a Lambo parked outside of your house. You don't have the keys, but it can drive really fast. They do a lot of cool things, but it's just there. You don't have the keys to it.
I don't think you know it. You have to have some.
I was ambitious was the term. I was ambitious, I don't stop moving. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yes. I like that word. He's ambitious because potential literally it's just saying, hey, this he or she has so much going for him. they got off their ass and did something.
Yeah.
And I think we knew we could do something great together too.
Yeah.
You know, we complemented each other's strengths and weaknesses pretty well.
It was a good partnership. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, that's you said it best right there. A partnership works out in that aspect. I mean, my partnership 20 years in being in business was with my ex-wife, and she complimented me. I'm not good. I'm still not great at paperwork. So, you know, but what people don't understand is they try to find a clone of themselves, and it's. Yeah. And not just in relationships and business. And it's like, well, wouldn't you want to start this business? Wouldn't you want to start this relationship? Why would you want somebody to have the same faults, the same flaws? Right. Because clearly, you know, you can't move forward in business. You can't move forward in life if you guys, you know, have the same hangups, the same strengths, the same weaknesses.
You know, Omar, that was one of the interesting things a few years ago that we actually didn't know about ourselves until we took this. It's called the PI index, predictive index, PI personality test. And, you know, when we started the business back in end of 07, 08, we, and pretty much everybody does this, like you're wearing all the hats, you know, you're going out and finding the properties, you're doing the books, you're doing, you know, even some of the work, you're managing the contractors, you know, you're wearing all of the hats out of necessity, but it's not necessarily what you're good at. And when we took this predictive index test, it really like hones in on, you know, not only what you're good at, but what you enjoy doing, what you have the capacity to do. And like Glenn's score was that he was an off the charts visionary. Like he wasn't even measurable because he was in that place. And because he's an off the charts visionary, his place in the company was not best for him.
Yeah.
He's best in that visionary role. When he was involved in the company, it was
caused chaos.
Yeah, he caused chaos. It was like, okay, there's a shiny object. Oh, is that a squirrel out the window? Like he did, he caused chaos. So once we found out like what we were really good at and honed that even further, that was a game changer.
Yeah, for sure.
But, and you're going to laugh at this. You guys took that test. Usually entrepreneurs, usually we all think we're visionaries. We all think we're amazing at everything. We have a weakness. There's no way we can have a weakness. And what usually happens is the visionary, the entrepreneur, he's like, let me lead. Let me do all the work. I can't scale. There's nobody as good as me. I have flaws. There's no way I have flaws. I'm great at everything. Paperwork, even though I really suck at it, I'm great at it. Let me do it. I don't want anybody messing with my books. I don't want anybody messing with my marketing. And clearly what happens, you two had the vision to say, hey, let's work on what we do great and let someone else do the other stuff. That right there, if people could only get that aha moment.
Go out of the way.
Exactly, right? And I don't know why people that's the narcissism in entrepreneurs. Because it's hard to say, yeah, I'm not good at something. It's hard to say, yeah, can we find somebody to do this payroll? Can we find someone to do this? That and you guys, yes, you took that assessment, and you're like, okay, you guys were clear. You're like, yeah, we're not going to let Glenn do everything. He might have a little ADHD. He might have a little focus issue. No, you guys were like, I applaud you for that, because that is like one of the most powerfulest things that people can do is let someone else do that.
To figure that out, because once we get out of their own way, once we get out of everybody else's way that is doing the job well, the business started to grow even more.
You have to trust people. You have to trust people at some level. I learned this way, way long ago, over 20 years ago. People will never do the job like you would do it. And they may do it better, but they may not do it as good as you, but they'll still get it done. You know, and you gotta let people grow.
Well, Glenn, it's also because, wait for it, they don't have skin in the game. This is your company.
Yeah, very true.
Really, this is your livelihood. Yeah. The other person, if things don't work out, they go Indeed. They go to monster.com. They go to whatever new website that's out there. They go to LinkedIn to find a new job. This is your livelihood. So whenever somebody tells me, well, I can't find, you're never going to find anybody with that passion. That their butt's not on the line. That's you guys. Another thing, though, I have to applaud you. I look at when the business was started. Timing is everything. So you got into real estate at 2007. 2008 wasn't exactly prime time to be doing anything in real estate.
Terrible. Yeah, terrible. We didn't know any better. People have said, oh, you guys are brilliant. You got in the right time. We're like, we were just desperate. I had to pay out. We had to make large chunks of cash fast legally. That's what we had to do. We were trying to figure out how to do that. And, you know, we didn't know what it turned into, you know, but we just kept pushing through. Even though people said, oh, don't do real estate. You shouldn't do it. You should get out. We're like, yeah, so I'm not going to listen to you. So I just kept pushing through. And after about the third or fourth flip, people are like, well, they're doing something. Let's keep watching them. So we did.
Now, what brought you guys into the real estate and flipping? Did you guys, either of you, have like a real estate background, or was this just something you just, it's at the pit of your stomach, Jesus, God, the universe, somebody's like, hey, Glenn and Amber, you have $80,000 in debt. Let's go for real estate.
I have always been a real estate guy. Like I've ever, so when I was 19, I bought my first two rental properties with, you could do a simple assumption with FHA back then. That was in the 80s. And I bought two rentals and they were kind of in the hood. And I didn't know that when you collected rent, you had to pay the mortgage with that money. So I just spent it and blew it on friends, partying, whatever. Before you knew it, you know, it's nice having a wad of cash because they never paid you the full rent. They paid you a couple hundred bucks here, a couple hundred bucks there. So by the time you spent it, you never had the full thing to pay the mortgage payment. So I ended up losing both those houses to foreclosure. I ended up going bankrupt three times after that. I had a car repossessed. This is 30 years ago, but I had all that really tough financial time. So I got gun shy of real estate, but I never stopped believing in real estate. So I would help my friends. I'd give them ideas. I'd read books on creative finance. And so I would always be involved helping other people do it. And, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that doesn't do something I don't like. I just was gun shy. I didn't, you know, I'd been bankrupt. I'd lost everything. And so fast forward 20 years or whatever it was, or 15 years, when Amber and I got together, she wanted to, like I said, she wanted to build rentals or wanted to flip, and I wanted to build rental portfolio. So we actually bought our first rental 2 years prior, right? 2005.
Yeah.
We bought our first rental house, which was just that was a complete shit show. But we bought, it still is, we still own it. But we had that, and then we decided to start flipping. So that, you know, then it was what you said. It was like, well, we're in debt. How do we make large chunks of money? So let's flip a house. I'm like you see on TV, you want to flip one? I don't know anything about construction. I know nothing about it. She's like, well, I know a little bit. I'm like, well, I guess I know a little bit. And so one thing led to another, and we bought that first house. We went to a seminar with eight people in it, and the story I always tell is that the guy looked at Amber and she was all decked out. It was date night. There was eight people in the room for this workshop to flip houses. Eight people, including us. We were in the front row. He looked down and said, to be successful at real estate investing, you have to go in houses she'll never go in. And he points at Amber. And I thought, buddy, you have no idea who you just pointed at. But I didn't say a word. We hadn't flipped one house yet. And then that guy is still a realtor in the upstate New York area. He's still a realtor. And we'll eclipse 1,000 flips this year. This is going back 14 years later. We'll eclipse 1,000 flips this year.
We blew his doors.
Not in the year for our career, but we blew his doors in. So it just cracks me up when I look back at him and go, hey, Bob. I guess you were wrong on that one, huh?
I guess Amber can walk into those homes.
Oh, she does. She does. She's a bull. Yeah, she goes into all that stuff. She
don't
has no problem.
Don't judge a book by its cover, baby.
No, she's tough. She's tough.
Now, when it comes to real estate investing, I've always wanted to do the flipping, but always heard horror stories. Now, your first flip, you made $17,000. Your second flip, 33 days later, $33,000. And literally, I mean, your success isn't exactly the norm now, correct? When it comes to flipping?
I mean, 17 grand that house, you know, we did well on that. I shouldn't say well. That wasn't a lot of money. We could have made more, but I don't know. I think, you know, we have a lot of students that do very well out of the gate. Yeah. So one of my students' first flip was 200 grand. So now that's not normal. But I think
the average profit on a flip though is
50 grand now. Yeah. But back then it was probably 30.
Yeah.
Something like that. So yeah, I think for us, you know, is it normal? I don't know. I guess I don't know what's normal. I guess a lot of people get involved, get started, and then get freaked out, or they don't do well, and they just don't have the guts to get through it. You know what I mean? And they lose money on it, and they quit. And they're like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever.
Or they get in without really doing their research, and they buy it wrong because, you know, you make money when you buy the house.
Yeah.
So
we knew that.
Yeah.
We knew we had to buy it cheap enough. We were good at math.
Yes. And we came up with our own spreadsheets at the time. We did not have coaches back then. You know, No. There weren't really a lot of coaches around. There was Carlton Sheets, but that was all on rentals. And, you know,
we did buy that course over $5,000. Some online course for $5,000. We had coaches.
And I think the benefit people have now is there are coaches out there, you know, and there are places to get information and there are places to learn before you do. So I think that's different now. There's more information out there that people can learn from and gain. We have the Home Flipping Workshop that we actually just had one last weekend where we, you know, bring on new students and teach them how to flip houses and buy rentals and build portfolios that would knock your socks off. And, you know, we have so many students that are going out there and really doing it well. So I think the people that aren't successful are probably the ones that are trying to do it themselves, that don't buy the house right, that don't manage the job right, that make the renovations take way too long and they end up losing money on holding costs. And so I think education is super important.
Now, here's my next question. You said a little bit about it. Homes that Amber probably wouldn't want to walk into. That was clearly not the case. But is that the way to make money off of flips, is going through the Section 8 type homes, the neighborhoods that you see
movies in? Not all the time. Sometimes there's bigger profit margins in those because not everybody wants to go in them. But not, I'd say most of the time that's not the case.
Yeah.
But there certainly is, you know, sometimes the stinkier the better, right? Sometimes you get, you know, you go in there and you're like, man, it stinks. I'm like, that smells like money to me.
Like money.
that's not all the time.
Like by and large, I think most of our houses that we've ever bought were, you know, probably from
state sales, outdated.
Yeah, just 40s and 50s are not necessarily like quarter houses. We've had a handful of quarter houses over the years, but most of them are just outdated that just need.
So it's just like TV when you see it's made for television. Whenever we see the DIY network and all.
Yeah.
And you see the person that hoards, and they have a 1988 comic book collection stacked up there and like 10 dead cats.
We've done a handful of those over the years, but you know, I think this year will eclipse 1,000 deals between wholesales and rentals and flips
for our career.
Yeah. We do about 100 deals a year still between wholesales, rental properties and flips. So, you know, we've done a handful of those, but yeah, most of them are just normal everyday neighborhood type of houses.
Now, this is what I love about you guys, because those that find success and that live in abundance want to help out others. Clearly, that's the reason why you guys have the workshops, is because you don't live in scarcity. You want to see other people succeed.
100%.
When did you always have that aha moment that, hey, once we arrive, let's help out others?
On the third flip, so I always knew I wanted to do that because I love to speak and train, help other people. I knew that from my previous life, my previous career. And about the third house in, I looked at Amber and said, we were doing the work ourselves. I said, you know what? This is it. Like, this is what we could actually teach people to change their lives. There's enough money in this game. When I did it with network marketing, it was small amounts of money. It was tough, you know. I said, but if I tell people how to do this, they can make $30,000, $40,000 for a flip. This would be great. And this is what we should do. But let's prove the model, because I don't want to be one of those guys that says I'm good and I've done one deal, which right now the world, because of social media, is plentiful with those people. And we said, this is way back in the day, I said, let's make sure that we prove the model. So we didn't open our coaching business until we had done 400 deals. After 400 deals, wins, losses, but millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions, maybe hundreds, tens of millions of dollars worth of business, we realized at that moment, like, this could be it. So we opened our coaching business after we'd proven the model. So we're just big believers in, if we want to teach, how can you be a good teacher if you haven't gone through it? You know what I mean? So, and we live in it every day. We're still doing it every day. So we're part of it. So I think that's why we're so successful at what we do, why our following is growing so rapidly, and why people, our home workshop has probably 1,200 five-star reviews online. I mean, we have a lot of reviews over the past 6 years. So it keeps growing and growing and growing on Google and on Facebook. So, you know.
But you said it exactly right. I mean, because people would always ask us, why? Because we even did this in Albany in our hometown. Why are you teaching your competitors? And we use that exact phrase that you use, because we don't live in scarcity mentality. We live in abundance mentality. We think there's enough to go around for everybody. And I'm going to get super cheesy here, but you know, I think there's so much unhappiness in the world today, and there's so much, you know, people are having, you know, to work. Mom and dad both have to work in order to make ends meet for their families. And I just think there's a better way. You know, I don't think we're put on this earth to do the lather, rinse, repeat, go to the same job every day and do the same thing and come home and make dinner and get the kids ready for school. And like, I don't think we're meant for that. I think we're meant for more. So if we're able to teach people at the workshop that there's a better way to live, that, you know, and no, money doesn't bring you happiness, but if you can get rid of all the other stresses, not all the other stresses, but a lot of the other stresses and the financial pressures that you have, certainly that does reduce the level of stress and make you happier as a person, or it can make you happier as a person. And if people are happy in their work life, and they're happier to their families and their kids, and then that spreads out. That's what I mean. I'm getting kind of super cheesy here, but I love the thought of that, of helping moms not feel like they have to go to a normal job where they can have the flexibility, you know, cause I'm an ambitious person, but I also love being with my kids and being able to do all the stuff that moms do. So I love the fact that I can do that as a real estate investor and not have that same guilt that a mom does that isn't even able to go to her kid's school to do an activity with them or whatever. So
that's that, not super cheesy at all. I actually believe we are like-minded people. Now with this, the home flipping workshops that you guys do, can we keep, well, we would have to keep our 9-to-5s until we
don't recommend, we don't recommend. Now, every now and again, about every third workshop, we have someone that like says, okay, I stopped. I went all in. And you know, you've got to be a certain kind of person and be in a certain kind of place in life to do that. You need to have some finances behind you to be able to do that. Now, we recommend most people, 99% of people will do it alongside their current job. That's what most people do. They start out part-time. You learn how to flip a house. You know, what we do with our workshops is pretty simple. We go through everything in detail. At the workshop, we take applications. There's a handful of people that we choose to personally work with our team and help them get across the finish line. We don't accept everybody, but it's an application basis thing. And that's what we do. And then those handful of people will go on to help them reach their goals. You know, the really serious people that say, listen, I'm ready for a change. And so we help them do that. So, but yeah, most of those people have a full-time job. That's pretty common.
Here's my next question. A guy like me, I'm not handy Manny, even though, you know. So I hear this a lot of time with people. Well, I can't flip, or I can't learn how to flip because I don't know how to fix and repair homes.
Yeah.
To me, I think that's one of the biggest things that holds people back is lack of knowledge and lack of money. But we tell people you're better off not doing the work yourself. You can actually make more money by hiring contractors to do it. So who cares if you don't know how to do it? You hire the people that are good at it.
We have a student. She just came on our workshop. We always have students come back and tell their stories live and stuff. And Cece is in Nebraska, a town of 800 or 1,000 people in her town, middle of nowhere, Nebraska. The average annual income is like 31 grand or 32 grand, like now in this market. And she has MS, diagnosed with MS. She was a math teacher and she had to stay home because of her MS. She flips from home. She's on her fourth flip now, made about 200 grand in her first 2 years with us. And she does it from home primarily because she can't really walk. So she's on the phone, she's managing. She had no construction background. When people work with us, we give them coaches and all that kind of stuff to really help them through that. So it's not about, in our world, I preach this no matter what. It's not about knowing how to do it yourself. It's about knowing who to hire that can do it for you. That's what it is. That's what it boils down to.
Omar, what does your hat say and your t-shirt?
Oh.
It did work.
What so, if it did work?
So we have a similar saying in the workshop, and it's how can I? Because people talk themselves out of things all the time, right? Like, you know, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And it's always negative, right? What if is pretty much always negative. But just like your hat and your sweatshirt says, what if it did work? You know, flip that narrative in your mind and say, what if I did do this? What could come out of it?
Yeah.
Exactly. The thing is, so many people closed completely. They quit dreaming. They stopped dreaming if they ever dreamt at all. They don't understand. You guys live, it doesn't matter, West Coast, Florida, East Coast, Florida, on the intercoastals. All that money that was made, they didn't rob anybody. They weren't born lucky. There's no scarcity. They expanded their vision. They expanded their mind. They saw a need. They probably answered a problem. And they just believed in themselves. There's no, what stops people, if you're only making $50,000 a year, that's because your scarcity mindset says that's all that there is $50,000 for me.
Yep. Very true.
Yep.
Very true.
Their scarcity mindset either says that's all that there is, that's all I deserve.
Yes. That's the number one. That's a little voice. I'm unworthy.
Right.
Yeah. I'm unlucky. I don't deserve this. And that's why whenever people wonder, well, hey, that person lost 40 pounds. Why did they gain it all back? Well, self-destructive behavior isn't because somebody's like, yeah, I want to be a screw up. It's because they don't believe they deserve it. And until you fix that mindset, these people, you know, we can all go to your workshop. We can find the cure for cancer. And it won't benefit us because, well, not me, but, you know, because I don't deserve this. This isn't for me.
Right.
And clearly that your story right there from the beginning. You met Glenn. He was 80K in debt. He was slinging the Amway. He was slinging the Optavia. Glenn thought he was the next Ray Higdon. I love you, Glenn, but let Ray be Ray Higdon. Yeah. and you be the whole flipper. Your story is a story of overcoming obstacles. You know, everybody wants to watch the Rocky. They love to hear about, you know, somebody that overachieves, the redemption story. But you guys show that we can create our own redemption story.
Yeah, and it's really a matter of mindset, right? Like that mindset. And, you know, had I listened to the guy when we went to that seminar with eight people saying, you know, if to be successful, you'll go into houses that she'll never go into. I had a choice right there. I could either like let that affect me and say, well, maybe, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Or I could use it as fuel to propel me forward and say, you know, screw you, I'm going to do it anyway. Yep. So we have to change that mindset. And so many people, this is like a struggle across the board that people deal with. I call it head trash. Like we have head trash from either how we were raised, an experience we've had in our life, or relationship gone bad, you know, a failed business, you know, that mindset that holds us back. And there's a book out that's one of our favorite books called Un-F Yourself by Gary John Bishop. His name, Gary John Bishop.
Oh, I've read it. He's got a few of them with that.
Yes, I read them all.
Stop doing that shit.
He's like from England or Ireland or something like that.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you know us Americans. One of those countries, one of those European countries over there.
That brilliant book about getting out of your own way and telling yourself a different story and getting past that fear and the stories that you told yourself, the records you played in your head. And I even tell my kids this, you know, if you have like a negative thought coming in your mind, change the channel. And it's no different than if you're driving down the road and a song comes on that you don't like, what do? You push a button and you change the channel for a new song. We have that power to do that with our thoughts. Our thoughts are the only things we truly have control over in this world. And most people let their thoughts control them. So if you can, you know, it takes practice, but if you can change that, it's a game changer.
People ask all the time, what's the secret to success in real estate investing? A lot of it, we go over mindset a lot. You've got to be, you know, we tell them it's 20% mechanics, 80% mindset. And so I spend the workshop. First part of the workshop, I say, with your permission, let me teach you how to get a good toolbox, your best toolbox. Let's work on you first. I say, what's the most important part of a house? And they eventually get around the same foundation. I say, great, what's the most important part of your business? They say, me. I say, okay, so who's the foundation? You are. So let's work on you. You get strong and you can take on, because you're going to have lots of crap. You're going to get punched a lot in this business. You're going to get, you know, to make 50, 80, 100, 200 grand in a deal, you're going to get punched a lot. It's not easier. Everybody would do it. But you've got to be ready mentally to take the hits. So that's what we teach.
You know, there was a point, Amber, when that realtor, that was his opinion. That was his diagnosis. You didn't accept the prognosis. You could have gone two ways. You could have said he's right, and you could have let him prove him right, right? Hey, I can't go into those homes. But that's what the majority would have done. Which you did. You guys are both stubborn as hell. You have to be, right, to be successful. Because none of us have, like, you know, it's not like we had rooting fans cheering us on, you know, like we're running a marathon. You chose what the path that most wouldn't. You're like, okay, you're right. Let me prove you wrong. And you did. And you guys could have had that should have moment. Ah, you know.
Yeah.
That guy was right. Let others, you know, we just weren't lucky. You know, like I can't go into homes.
Like I say, what other people think about you is none of your business.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, what hurts is like when people that you feel should be your fans, whether it's your friends, your family members, your own blood, become the doubters, become the naysayers. Why are you going to let them? That's their life. That's their opinion. You know, hey, you know what? It sucks that they don't cheer you on, but that should never stop anybody from their, you know, achieving their goals, their dreams.
That's a really good point, Omar, because sometimes it's even the people that are closest to us. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's even our parents. And they're the people that love you the most in this world. But they might try to be protecting you from something, from some kind of pain or some kind of hurt, or they think you're going to get in over your head. So they're doing it out of love, out of protection.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. We weren't born with fear, Amber. What happens is society, our friends, our family, don't talk to strangers. Don't do this. Don't do that. And that's where the fear comes in. It's either that they want to protect you or the simple fact that they quit on their dream.
Yeah.
Imagine Glenn and Amber went out there, had the courage to start, had the stubbornness to continue and succeeded while we didn't even have the belief in ourselves to even try.
Yeah.
And we've had moments where we wanted
to. I think people need to know that we have lots, you know, you know, I probably quit 1,000 times in my head. I never actually quit, but you're like, oh, I can't take it. Oh my God, I'm frustrated, pissed off. And you know, I can't, how much can I push on? The next day I get up and do it again. You know, so you just, I think there's what you tell yourself when you get upset and pissed off sometimes. I think people think that we never have bad days.
Or when you're going through something hard, we've had some real struggles in the business.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, know, times where we wanted to quit, times where we were crying. I mean, like,
oh yeah,
you know,
but we just didn't. The secret is we just didn't quit. Like, much as you sometimes want to, and even I think everybody who's successful still sometimes you have those moments you're like, oh, okay, you know, just the problems just get bigger. You're like, oh my God, so here's a struggle, but you just the only way to fail is to quit. That's the only way to fail.
Exactly. And be stubborn. As long as you believe in yourself, man, the sky's the limit. You know, you guys pushed through selling over 850 homes. I mean, I'm sure at the very beginning when you guys were sitting in on that workshop, you guys weren't thinking, hey, you know what?
Oh, we weren't. No, I can tell you we weren't. We drove down to Connecticut and saw a woman who at the time had done 250 flips. I remember thinking, that's ridiculous. Like, that's ridiculous. And now as we're getting close to 1,000, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's, you know, I look back. But again, it's the persistence. Just keep on. It accumulates.
And what's cool is your vision gets expanded as you go through it. And then all of a sudden you have these life experiences to draw on. So when something else challenging does come up, you know, you have the confidence to get through it because you know you've already gotten through it. Even if you can't even pinpoint what that was, it was interesting. Like you said, you know, we at that little workshop we went to, no, we weren't thinking we'd be at this point now. That seemed overwhelming. And we literally just had a conversation last night at, you know, 11 o'clock last night, where he was throwing some numbers out at me and some goals, you know, for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And I said to him, that's a hard number for me to wrap my arms around. But on the same token, we came from that point in 2007 to the point we are now. And now this year we'll eclipse over 1,000 deals that we've done. So I'm drawing on that life experience. That's hard for me to like open, you know, to wrap my arms around at this moment. But yeah, that could happen.
But you guys had long-term goals that you wrote down that were like, whoa, how the hell is that possible? That's how you hit them if you do the work on a consistent basis.
Right.
A lot of times when people write down a goal, one, there's no clarity. It's just some vague, I want to be a better person.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I want to lose weight. Well, you lost a pound. Is that successful? My 10-year goal is, and it's like some low bar that doesn't get that doesn't bring fear, that they might hit, they might not, or they create goals just based on that social media. It's what other people want to say. It's like the Miss USA. I want to cure cancer and feed the homeless, world peace. You know, it's like, no, man, have a goal that scares you. Have a goal that a 5 or 10 year goal that you're like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
That's how you get from, you know, sitting into this being in Buffalo, sitting in on this guy's, you know, while he's trying to find significance by saying, hey, you'll never be a badass like me. To 850.
Yeah.
Because you kept on. And you kept on putting these goals that were like, wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
And I don't harbor resentment to that guy. I used it as fuel. He propelled me forward.
Oh my gosh. I should have never written a book. Who am I? Yeah. I've you know, maybe I should drive for Uber. Just all these crazy work for Uber, which I thought meant like consult, you know, they need a coach, they need somebody. But no, to be a driver, my first challenge, I was like 50 pounds, 60 pounds heavier than I was now. And my, after the birth of my first child, Millie and I were going to personal training. And I asked the guy, hey, can I ever run a half marathon? And he's like, how far? 13.1 miles. And he laughed in my face. Now, clearly that's not the coach you need. So,
that's not very supportive.
Yeah, he got fired, but till this day, and I signed up for a bigger challenge, 26.2 miles, a marathon. And it's, Amber, it's like what you said, and his voice, every time, ran 25 of them, every time I wanted to quit, that guy's voice kept on reappearing in my head. You'll never do this, you'll never complete. And that's it. Use the doubters, use the naysayers as fuel.
Yeah.
Why are you going to be like, okay, he's right. You know, everybody listens to the doubters, listens to the naysayers, or get this, any little bump, like a rejection, a no. Why? You know, let someone else live in the negativity. You know, the world's full of them. Be stubborn. You guys are the epitome of stubbornness. Could you imagine? Here, we'll do. We can't even do your story as a Hallmark movie because everybody wants the beautiness. Could you imagine? Yeah, I've got over $80,000 in credit card debt. Oh well, okay, let's get married. You know, nobody likes that. Everybody lives in fantasy land. Yeah. In fact, you guys moved here. Everybody should move here to Florida. Well, everybody's trying because the two worlds that everybody lives in is fantasy land because they live in fantasy because it's never going to happen for them because they think life, somebody should give it to them. And tomorrow land, both lands in the Magic Kingdom, guys, tomorrow. When are you going to start tomorrow? When are you going to lose weight tomorrow? When are you going to start your side hustle? Everything is tomorrow.
The 32nd of never.
Exactly. Well, why can't you do something? Oh, well, because, you know, I need a stream. There's a new documentary on Netflix. You know, I need to find out about the catfish story on Netflix, or I need to find out that there's always going to be something. Or, well, I need to go on Facebook and post my political views. That should stop people.
Yeah, the real trick though is getting rid of the naysayer that's your own thought. I mean,
yes. Oh, that's the biggest naysayer. We can all pretend it's right. Someone else, but the reason why the naysayer, the doubter, the realtor's voices were so impactful was because that voice was already inside you, that you're not enough, that you're not worthy, and you're like, wow, he read right through me.
Here's the good thing about thoughts versus feelings, because feelings aren't right or wrong, but thoughts can be challenged. So if you have a negative thought, you can ask yourself, is that true? Or is that just me trying to self-sabotage? Is it me just trying to protect myself from something that I think might be? So thoughts can be challenged. And I think if you can start to practice that, you just start to get better and better and better. And then you just totally drown out those negative thoughts.
For sure.
Well, one has to be accountable too. Sure. Quit thinking you're friggin' Nancy Kerrigan screaming, why me, why me, why me? The reason why we're all stuck in whatever story, you need to go to the bathroom, you need to turn on the light, and it's the man in the mirror. Now, if I had Michael Jackson, you know, I could cue up Man in the Mirror, because there's no such thing as luck. Yes, some of us had better cards dealt our way, but don't we all have a story?
We all do.
I ran out of fingers and toes. I'm an arts and sciences guy. I don't know how many episodes, but not one person was like, yeah, you know what? I was born hot. You know, everything was handed to me. And gosh darn it, I really 10x'd it because I was just killing it from day one. No, we all have a story, man. If you're going to use the story, use it to promote, use it to motivate, to inspire, but just don't keep on living in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Very true.
I mean, you guys use the story, the debt to say, hey, you know what? But you know how many people would be like, yeah, 80,000? It ended me. End of story.
Not us.
Yeah.
So did you guys move here? Was it because of weather, or was it because the real estate's better in Central Florida?
Been our dream always. Been our dream to live on the ocean all the time. That's always been our dream since we got together, actually. And so we had a plan, written down plan to do it in 2023.
When our oldest daughter graduated.
Yeah, didn't know how we were going to afford it, didn't know how it was all going to happen, didn't know anything. We started shopping for houses down here a few years ago, and at first it was like, I can't afford that, like, my God. And then it turned to, how can I afford that? How can we make that work? And one thing led to another, and we were down here for a business workshop. COVID happened, and so our business went virtual, and I'm like, why are we still here? And we stumbled out of the house that we're at now, and Amber walked in and got her tape measure out. I'm like, uh-oh. And so, and ironically, I never thought we'd buy a house this expensive, but the interest rates were so incredibly low that we could afford the house like comfortably. And I'm like, wow. Called my broker and said, what do you think? He said, yeah, no problem. You can do this. I'm like, I can? It's like, yeah. So sure enough, we did. Made it work.
But it was a goal. It was a goal to be here.
Yep.
And we actually reached it 2 years before we wanted.
Yep.
So you guys left Niagara Falls?
And No, we're Albany area.
Oh, Albany. Then Buffalo is what?
It's about 5 hours away. Still cold, but it's all still cold.
I'm a Floridian. We all think New York City is
I know.
And maybe Syracuse is somewhere out there.
I know. And
Niagara Falls is like a 30-minute drive from New York City. Well, hey, New Yorkers say it's the center of the universe, New York City. So that's why I thought everything was within proximity.
She's got to run, grab somebody at the door. The doorbell's ringing. So she'll be right back.
That's okay. So I tip my hat off to you. Now, your workshops, though, are they virtual?
Yeah, that's 100%. So we used to travel to hotels and do ballrooms and stuff. And honestly, when the pandemic hit, the first thing I did was say, I'm in trouble. Like, I can't do workshops. This is my passion. So we had 2 months of laying there licking our wounds. And I'm like, well, let's try a virtual one. I saw somebody had done a virtual workshop. I'm like, I'll try it. But who the heck's going to want to do a virtual workshop? That's ridiculous. And then I did it and it worked. I did it again and it worked. Did it again. So we've been doing it for 2.5 years now. And I have no plans to go back because I can reach people all over the country. We just did one this weekend that had over 300 people at it. And that was pretty big, actually. We may just only sell 200 tickets, but it was 300 people at the event. And I do it from my office here in Florida. It's, you know, I have all these cameras in front or all these screens in front of me. I can see I'm very interactive. It's like a giant Zoom room. That's what it is.
It's so cool.
It is. It's shocking how much we connect with people. It's our advisors meet one-on-one with people. They go out in private rooms. They have conversations on Zoom. We figured it out to a science where it really benefits everybody. And at the end of the day, I go home with my family. I don't have to be traveling to a hotel, which is pretty great.
So no need to go to St. Pete or Sarasota, Bradenton, Dunedin, Clearwater.
Nope.
No, and the cool thing is that, you know, when we did do live events, like we would only focus on little towns and pockets around the country. And now we can help people all over the place, regardless of what state they're in. And so we're able to affect a lot more lives, which is amazing.
Probably almost every state.
We have students that are just killing it. I mean, people that are retiring early and quitting their job and being able to be stay-at-home moms. And I mean, it's kind of funny because like when we started in 2007 and after all the deals we've done, and after a while, it just becomes a day in the life of, you know, it's just our routine. It loses a little bit of its excitement. We're happy with all the success. Don't get me wrong, but it loses a little bit of its novelty. But when we're working with students and getting to celebrate their success, it's like great. We get to live vicariously through them again. And share that happiness and that joy when they do their first deal and they come home with that, you know, $50,000, $70,000 profit check and how it's changed their life. And we've had kids, I'm thinking of Pam, her kids have come to us and said, you know, you gave my mom a renewed life. She was able to retire from the state early and she's just killing it. I mean, she's doing incredible. And like, we have story after story after story like that.
So many now.
That just, it's.
It's been 6 years of doing that. We've done a lot of workshops. So we love it. We love it.
Now, how often do you guys do these workshops?
We did 9 of them this year. So it's about every 5-6 weeks, kind of in that range. And it's, you know, it's 3 days and we dive into everything. We go, like I said, we do mindset. We dive into how to find off market deals. We go how to fund deals, you know, how to fund your deals. We even do a capital raising session at the workshop. We have a speaker that comes in, talks about how to set up the right structure, LLC, trust, business credit. I mean, we do creative financing. We do a piece on how to build a rental portfolio without using any of your own money. We do so much in 3 days that people leave there and go, if anybody wants to go look at our reviews online, just look up Home Flipping Workshop and look up the reviews. We're not going to please everybody with a couple of bad reviews, but it's almost all 5 stars. And it's jam-packed with these people write paragraphs about everything we've done for them.
And we do the workshops ourselves. It's not just like some speaker that's out there doing it. Glenn's the main speaker. I have a couple parts on it. Like I'm so happy about all the people we're helping.
Yeah, we do a property walkthrough. We do a virtual walkthrough with everybody where they get to walk through a house, look at it, and then use our home flipping evaluator to determine how much they're going to pay for it. So we take them right through an actual class on how to do it. We walk them through, and then as a room, we all decide. They all have these charts they hold up. If the problem is okay as is, we have to repair it. We have to replace it. And
very interactive.
Very interactive. Very interactive the whole time. Yeah, you can't sleep during my workshops. I'll call you on it.
So these are great for somebody that newbie. I need training wheels. I don't know a thing. I just know Glenn and Amber are rock stars. And by the way, those negative reviews, those are people that thought just by taking your course,
it was
like magic. But they don't understand.
They get two bad reviews out of all those, so it's not, yeah, not much.
But it requires work. Right.
Oh yeah, I say.
Oh God!
I know. I'm like, it requires work. Like, oh, sometimes they get mad if we don't accept them into our program. We don't accept everybody, so if we don't accept them for long term coaching, they may not like. They don't like that. But that's neither here nor there. That's a small part. But you're gonna say something.
I knew what I forgot.
Oh well,
that's okay.
I forgot what we're talking about. I know what you're gonna say too. I just forgot.
Yeah, it's almost
over. I don't know. That's okay.
That's okay. That's because we're all just a little over 30 years old.
Yeah, just a smidge.
Just a smidge. So there was no blowback when you guys moved from the kids, like, hey, we're leaving. Well,
no, we did. My back in New York. My 22-year-old son still lives there. He managed all of our Airbnbs, so he stays back there. He actually runs the Zoom room at our workshops, so it's a very family business. And then our 17-year-old daughter was down here last year. She spent her junior year here, but she fought. And finally, I let her go back and finish her senior year back in New York. So that's been a little bit heartbreaking for me. But it's, you know, life goes on. It is what it is. So she's coming down next week. We're going to go to Yankee Rays game. We're going to be doing that soon. So, you know.
Our 22-year-old would move here in a heartbeat if his girlfriend would come along.
Yeah.
But our little ones love it here.
We hope in time I get the older ones down here. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I know you would have to, I've been to New York City, but I've been to other parts of this country, the great Northeast. And I know between that and like Bradenton, I know it's a tough sell for me too. I think I'd be stuck up there too. I'm joking. There's
not. Gonna say not me. And I spent 53 years up there. 52 years. Up
15
there.
Winters was long enough for me.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I hear you completely. So this is amazing in the aspect of literally. I'm not going to say it's idiot proof, but pretty much, if you have ambition, if you have drive, if you believe in yourself. You believe in the concepts that you're teaching them. You can change. I'm not going to say overnight, but you can change your family's trajectory.
Oh, sure. 100%. Yeah, it doesn't happen. It does not happen overnight. We don't preach that at all. I always say it's hard work, but it's worth it. But if you want to have a vehicle that can actually change the legacy of your life, I think real estate. I think real estate's it. I think that for us, you know, our big motto is we help everyday people create wealth through real estate investing because that's who we are. And that's what we did. So we relate to people. We can relate to the average person. Hell, I've been bankrupt. I've been through financial tough times many years
ago.
Neither
one of us have college educations.
No, we're kind of stupid. So, I mean, we just figured a way to do this and be, you know, be independent. And I just, you know, we like to help everyday people because that's who we are.
Hey, I've got 2 degrees for stupid people in journalism. So all it meant was I between that and 250, I could buy a copy of the USA Today, and I learned how to drink hard liquor in Louisiana and how to speak to women. So and how to sell myself. But yes, I'm the wrong person to ask when it comes to academia because I was one of the idiots, the masses that listen to academia that said that if you don't go to college, you're going to be living under a bridge and you're going to be like doing unspeakable things to men to be able to pay for your bills. So that's why I went to college. Because I was never academically inclined saying, oh, this is it. I, you know, So what's the best way to reach you guys when, but before you answer that, is this the only option? Are the virtual, or can somebody like say, hey, I want to fast track it. I need my handheld. Can I hire Glenn and Amber to be my personal coach?
We don't do that. Our team does it because we help a lot of people. So our team does it. We're very involved in that. So we're right there. The coaches work right for us and that kind of stuff. But yeah, they don't have to set to go to a workshop. They can reach out to us directly, and we have some different options to get them started if they want to. We like them to go to the workshop because we do so much to show them. It's a really just good, strong education. But they can reach out to us directly, and I'll let Amber tell you how they can find us.
Yeah, the workshop, and then the great thing about our coaching, though, is that it's not like you have to go at a certain pace. Like there's, you know, everybody starts from a different place in life. I know what I was going to say.
I know, George.
So the workshops are not only good for newbies, but they're also good for people that are experienced investors that want to learn how to scale their business.
Yeah.
So it's not just for new people.
Yeah, you've done a few deals and you're like, how do I do more? How do I do all that?
But yeah, no matter where somebody is in life, you know, you might have more time or the person that's starting it out on the side of their current job might not have a ton of time to spend. So if you walk, we'll walk right alongside you. If you jog, we'll stay right with you. And if you run, we're going to run with you. So I love that part of our coaching is really tailored per person. But if they want to find us, certainly come to the Home Flipping Workshop. They can get tickets at homeflippingworkshop.com. Another great place to find out more about us is glennandamber.com. And that's got lists of our podcasts and our YouTube channel. And we have a new book coming out. We have a show coming out.
Yeah, we have a lot going on.
It's got, you know, that website just kind of covers all of our bases because we have a lot of them.
Yeah.
glennandamber.com. And Glenn has two N's.
Yeah.
Okay. I graduate. Do you guys have an advanced product or?
Yeah, I mean, most of people, they choose, you know, levels to work with 6 months, a year, 2 years. Most people choose the 2 years. After 2 years, you kind of have an idea, you know. And honestly, people that are with us that are doing stuff, we never stop being friends with them. I mean, it just, you know, we're there. You know, once you build and help people become successful, it just
you're
becomes
like part of our family.
Yeah, you become part of our tribe, part of our family. We're all about family.
So then what you guys are telling me is you don't see people as checking accounts, that you actually not only want to see them win, but
they
become part of your extended family.
Oh sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, how do you not when you're helping people? I mean,
that's what I say. That's why when I look at people,
you know, I'm not best friends with everybody, but certainly I have a lot of, we've made a lot of friends who I never would have known if we hadn't come through our workshop.
Yeah.
I have one texting me now. I actually got a meeting. I got to jump on just a minute with him now. Actually, I got a meeting. I got to jump with a guy that's got a closing going to happen. I'm going to help him through it. So yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
I can laugh. I can talk to you guys for hours because we're like-minded people and we believe in the same stuff. And I know you guys are busy making money and, more importantly, helping people find success.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any parting words for anybody that's sitting on the sidelines and want to tell them this is your chance to change your legacy?
Take action. Stop sitting on that excuse and take action. Push through the fear and just do it.
Yeah, you can't make the game-winning shot from the bench. You got to get in the game. You know, you can't sit back and watch everybody else. You got to get in the game. The only way to make – you got to take some risks. You got to get out there. You know, you got to get out there. If you don't, you'll look back. You have two choices at the end of your life, right? You look back and say, man, look at what I did. Or you look back and say, man, look at what I didn't do. I wish I did. And I just don't want to pay with regret. I'd much rather say, I gave it a shot. I did my best. I did, you know, the best I could. And instead of look back saying, gosh, I sure wish I did better. That's not what I want to be saying when I'm at the end of my journey. So I think about the end of your journey and say, where do you want to end? You know?
Hey, I love it. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. Believe it or not, you actually, and I'm not saying this because I'd say it with us not taping. I'll definitely look your program up because I believe in you guys. I know you guys are in it 100% to just see people grow, see life change.
Yeah.
So I love you guys. You'll definitely hear from me.
Cool.
And hey, let's go Yankees.
Next week. I don't know. I'm switching to the Rays now a little bit because I'm kind of liking the Rays. I'm only 25 minutes from the stadium. I've been to a lot of games, so I'm torn right now. I'm torn.
I've never been torn. I became a Marlins fan when the team was created. But my grandfather always took me to Fort Lauderdale when we lived in Miami to watch spring training. Reggie Jackson.
Mickey Rivers. Yeah.
And then he would always take me to New York City every year to watch
the Yankees play. Great experience, right?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Oh, yeah. And, you know, to Tampa, I drive the spring training or, you know, to watch them beat up on the Rays. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. My mom's coming down wearing her jersey. My kids are wearing their Rays jerseys. It's going to be divided family next weekend. So it's going to be a lot Labor Day weekend. So.
All righty. Hey, love you guys.
Thanks for having us, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Great. No problem. Take care, guys.
All right. See you. What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.